Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Kama, Da Beis Amud Aleph. We begin Seyed Nezikin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach. Seyed Nezikin, actually the Mefarshim tell us the first three Masechtas of Seyed Nezikin are Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, and Bava Basra. And many suggest that these three Masechtas were really one very, very long Masechta that was divided into three parts. Bava Kama, which we're about to begin learning, is the part that discusses, at least certainly at the beginning of the Masech, the issue of damages. Damages that a person makes, damages that my property makes, an animal that I own, or others. And Bava Metzia and then Bava Basra. Ultimately, they were divided into three separate Masechtas. The Taisus Yontif says that the word Bava means shar, a gate. The Torah, as we're going to learn in these Masechtas, doesn't really elaborate on psukim regarding the issues we're going to discuss. The Torah is actually quite concise. And it's through these Mishnayos and Gemaras that we will Mitzshem learn over the next years, we will be able to have an opening and an understanding into these concepts. There are really, as we said a moment ago, two situations where damage is done. One is when a person does damage to another person, that we know that halacha is that the Torah says one has to pay under those circumstances nezek tsar, ripui, sheves, baishes. Another situation where a person could do damage is not to another person, but to somebody else's property. All of that falls into the category of Adam HaMazik. And we're also going to speak about situations where my property does damage, whether it's my shor, which is the classical case, which we will discuss, or other properties that I own doing damage. Begins the Mishnah, Arba Ovis Nezikin. There are four general categories of Nezikin. The Mefarsh and the Rishonim already asked, we're speaking about mazikim. We're speaking about those who do damage. So why doesn't our Mishnah say arba ovis mazikim? Why does it say arba ovis nezikim? So I saw two answers. One answer is, Taisus Yontif says this also, that actually every time I or my property do damage, it's not only that the person who was damaged gets affected and has a loss, but I also have a loss, because now, as we said a moment ago, I'm going to have to pay. So nezikin, the mazik is a nezik. The mazik is somebody who gets damaged because of what he's going to have to pay. Another pshat, and this is a very, very fundamental concept that we're going to discuss. The Meiri says, if the Mishnah would have used the word mazikin, it would seem to indicate that the only time somebody or something is considered a mazik is when there is intent to do damage. But if there isn't specific intent, perhaps it's not considered a mazik. That's why our Mishnah uses the words nizikin to teach us that even without specific intent, it's already considered a mazik. Mazik, if somebody was mazik. In fact, there's a discussion amongst the Paiskim and the Mefarshim. Where do we know what is the Isser in the Torah that somebody's not allowed to be mazik, that I or my property may not cause damage? So I saw a number of opinions. One opinion says it's included in the lav of Lifnei Ivel Leisita Michshol. Another opinion is that it's included in the lav of Leisigzoil. Obviously, if I'm damaging you or my property is damaging you, he's stealing from you, he's causing you a loss. Others say it's included in the mitzvah sasei of V'hafta L'Reacha Kamaicha. So Taisus then asks that our Mishnah starts with the words Arba Ovis Nezikin, but doesn't say Hain. And many times the Mishnah would use Arba Ovis, when it mentions a number, it uses the word Hain. Why doesn't our Mishnah have the word Hain? So Taisus first tries to say that the Mishnah isn't, sometimes the Mishnah does use the word Hain, sometimes the Mishnah doesn't use the word Hain, it's not specific. Another teretz is that, as we're going to learn Mitzvah Shem in the Gemara, we're not limited to Arba Ovis, to four, there are many more. The word hain would seem to indicate that this is the finite number of mazikin, when there are actually many more. another teretz, is that even our Mishnah itself, that's going to list all of these mazikim, really doesn't describe them. It just lists them. So the word hein is when the list is complete. And not only does it mention it, but it also explains it. Since these mazikim are not being explained in our Mishnah, the Mishnah doesn't use the word hein. Another text that I saw from the Ma'ar of Hashemesh, he says hein would be like the word yes. Abba Vavis mazikin hein would mean that we want mazikin. Of course, we don't want it, so that's why the Mishnah didn't use the word hein. Hashar is if my axe does damage. Habar, if I dig a pit and somebody or something falls into it. We'll discuss those halachas. Fahamava. As we will learn in Mitzvah Shem in the Gemara, there's a very big machloikis, what is mava? And based on what that machloikis, it affects what the definition of shor is. According to Rav, mava is odom hamazik, if a person does damage. Shor, according to Rav, includes, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, already starting today, there are three types of mazik by a shor: shein, regel, and keren. Shein is when the animal eats, regel is when the animal tramples, and keren when it intends to do damage. Shor includes all three of those situations. That's Rav's interpretation. According to Shmuel, mava is shein, and shor is either keren or regel, a machloikis amaroim. Fehever is fire. Rashi, Tosfos, and many other Rishonim discuss why the Mishnah follows this specific order in mentioning the mazikim. So they explain, the Rashi explains, that the Mishnah is going in the order most common. The most common mazik is a shor, my property doing damage. Habar, says the Rashi, is in the Torah, right next to shor, so shor and bar travel together. And then hamava is less common, hamever is the least frequent. The Meiri learns, hashor, as we just learned, has all of these categories, so it's very elaborate. So shor and bar come first, then hamava, then hever. Barashi and Tosfos say that the order that the Mishnah mentions follows the order that they're mentioned in the Torah, which, as Tosfos asks, is fine if we say shor, like Rav said, includes all cases of shor. But if we're going to say shor is regel, Shmuel's interpretation, one interpretation according to Shmuel, so then regel is not the first mazik that's mentioned in the Torah. Regel comes later. So why is shor mentioned first? So Tosfos answers that since shor is mentioned first and regel is a variation of shor, it's mentioned first. Ask Tosfos, if that's the case, then heva, the mava, which is shein, ought to be mentioned also, because mava is a form of shor. Say to Mefarshim that since shein is not called shor, regel according to this interpretation is called shor, we can't say shein is shor if the Mishnah doesn't call it shor, and therefore it's not included in the category of shor. If we're going to follow that line of reasoning, that the Mishnah is going with what was mentioned first in the Torah, then the question comes up, Hamava, which according to Rav is Adam Hamazik, is mentioned only in Parshas Emor. All these other Mazikim are mentioned in Parshas Mishpatim. So Hamava should have been mentioned last. So the Mefarshim explain, Tosfos says that since Mava is so separate from all the other Mazikim, it's already meant, we're not going to follow the order of the Torah because it's a different parasha altogether. Or another pshat is that since Parshas Mishpatim does speak about a person stealing, and as I said earlier, stealing is a form of hezek, so mava does belong in this order. Says the Mishnah, lo yareya shor kareya mava. Shor and mava are not the same. V'lo yareya mava kareya shor. Neither are mava and shor the same. Gemara will explain what the differences are. V'lo yzev zesh yesh ben ruach chayim. Fire has ruachayim. Eish and mava, shor and mava. Eish doesn't have ruachayim. It's not a living thing. Shor and mava don't have ruachayim. So the question is, what is the significance of ruachayim? So the sheet already says ruachayim means it's a living thing, and a living thing has a force that drives it. And therefore, it's considered more of a mazik than Eish, which is completely no Ruach Chaim in it. The Rishayim also point out, when the Mishnah says, Lo'arei Ashar Karei HaMava, the Mishnah doesn't explain what the difference between Shar Mava is. But when the Mishnah wants to contrast Shar Mava to Eish, the Mishnah does point out the difference. Why does the Mishnah here explain and here not explain? So Mefarshim answer, when we're comparing two items, Shar to Mava, it's always easy to find a distinction between two different items. But when we're starting to get a little more complicated, Shar Mava versus Eish, it's not so easy to find something that differentiates them. And that's why the Mishnah had to spell it out. Tysus also asks, the Mishnah speaks about Shar Mava Hever and skips Bar. But when the Mishnah began, the Mishnah mentioned Bar before it mentioned Hever. So why is the Mishnah skipping Bar and then mentioning Hever? So Tysus answers, because the truth is, if the Mishnah would have just said Shar, Bar, and Mava, we would certainly be able to extrapolate all types of mazikin. But the Mishnah wanted to mention Hever. Taisa says, Lahagdal Tairo La'adira. And that's why the Mishnah skipped over Bar. V'loyezev ezeh shadak and leilach lahazik. Shor, Mava, Hever, travel. Kareya Bar, shein dak leilach lahazik, remain stationary. However, at Sada Shevashbem, what is the common denominator between all of these mazikin? Shadak and lahazik, they cause damage. Vishmiras and Lechan, you're responsible to watch them. Kshehizig, Chav HaMazik, L'shalumei, Tashlumei, Neizek, the mate of arts. These words of Shmiras and Alecha teach us, say the Mefarshim, two rules that we're going to spend a lot of time learning the Masechta. One is that if I did properly watch the item and it still did Mazik, I'm not responsible. If I fulfilled my obligation to do Shmira. Another did is, let's say it's my object, but I gave it over to you. I have a shor, and I gave it to you to watch. And while it's under your watch, you didn't properly watch it, and it did damage, then you're responsible. Because you are Shmiras and Alecha. You're the person that was responsible to watch it. In fact, Rabbi Zalman in the Evan Ozel discusses, what is the chiyuv by a mazik? Is the chiyuv by a mazik the fact that my property did damage? Or is the chiyuv a mazik that I didn't watch it properly? And Poshepshat, we would say, the fact that a Shoimer is held responsible, it should be obvious that the Chiyuv is based on your not fulfilling the Shmira. But Rabbi Zalman says it may not necessarily be that way. He says the fact that you are responsible to watch it makes it yours, and therefore you're Chayiv. Chav HaMazik L'Shalumei Tishlumei Nezek B'Meitav Oretz means that you have to pay B'Meitav Oretz. There's a machloikus rishonim. What does that mean? Rashi seems to learn that the Mishnah is teaching us that if either I or my property did hezek to you, and I choose to pay with karka, with property, I have to pay with meitav aretz, with the best property I own. But if I choose to pay kesef or metaltlin, fine. Other rishonim say that's not the way to understand the Mishnah. The way to understand the Mishnah, they say, is that first, I have to try, if I have kesef, if I have cash, I have to pay you with cash. If I don't have cash, I have to pay you with metaltlin. Metaltlin, there's no concept of idjus and zebruyas. If I don't have not cash, nor metaltlin, then I pay karka, the mate of arts. Some sofer wants to suggest that even Rashi would agree to that, but that's not pashup shat and Rashi. What does it mean, l'shashlumei teshlumei nezek? So as the Rishonim point out, the mazik paying isn't always not to the detriment of the nizik. Because we're going to learn later in our Masechta. Let's say my shor does damage to your shor. Until we go to Dintara, and the Bezdin paskins what I owe you, your damaged shor continues to depreciate. I only have to pay you what the loss was at the moment of the damage, not at the moment of the Pesach Bezdin. So Tysus asks here a question. We've learned many times the concept of Ein Onshin Min Hadin. We can't use a Kal V'Chomer to teach us, or Tzad HaShava, to teach us a Halacha, teach us a punishment. Why is the Mishnah mentioning the differences between the different types of Mazikin? The reason is because we can't learn one Mazik from the other Mazik, because each Mazik has its own unique characteristics. As Tysfus, and if we could learn one mazik from the other, there's still a problem of Ein Onshin Min Hadin. So how could the Mishnah even, what's the purpose in the Mishnah's exercise? So first Tosfos tries to say that perhaps here we're talking about Mominus. And that by Mominus there's no concept of Einon Shimon Adin. But Tosfos quotes a Mechilta, we'll learn the Mechilta later in the Masechta, that shows us even by Dinei Mominus there is a concept of Einon Shimon Adin. So we're back to where we started. What's the whole point of the exercise of the Mishnah mentioning these different mazikin where a halacha would be Einon Shimon Adin? So the Mefarshim suggest, why is the halacha Einon Shimon Adin? There are three reasons given why Einon Shimon Adin. One is, because that's the rules of Kal V'Chomer. You can't use a Kal V'Chomer to teach us a punishment. Another reason why Einon Shimon Adin is, what is the classical case of Einon Shimon Adin? The Torah speaks about the Isser, just finished learning the Sechta Gedushin, of having relations with a half-sister, a maternal sister, a paternal sister. So the Gemara says, if you're not allowed to have relations with a maternal sister or paternal sister, you're certainly not allowed to have relations with a full sister. Why does the Torah have to mention it separately? Einon Shimon Adin. Perhaps over there, you know why the Torah has to mention it? Because maybe the Aveira is a greater Aveira. And therefore the Einish for a half-sister is not enough as an Einish, as a punishment for a whole sister. That's the second reason. The third reason is, when you're working with a Kal V'Chomer, the Kal V'Chomer we always have many times in Shas, the Kal V'Chomer could be found faulty, it could be refuted. And then we gave a person a punishment, and the Kal V'Chomer falls away. Say to Mefarshim, Berakas Avraham says this Pshat. If we're going to say the concept of Einon Shimon Adin is because that's the way the rules are, or because we're concerned that the punishment isn't strong enough, by Mominus, it's different. By Mominus, maybe we do say Einon Shimon Adin. By Mominus, it's not a question of being too much or too little of a punishment. If I damage you, I have to compensate you. However, if the concern is that the Kal V'Chomer may be refuted, that even applies by Dina Mominus. Says the Gemara, Midatani Ovis, if our Mishnah uses the words Ovis, Mechlal de Ika Toldus. Obviously there are Toldus, we have throughout Shas. When we speak about Ovis, we speak about Toldus. The question is, Toldusayim Kiyoyetz Behem or Lav Kiyoyetz Behem? Are the Toldus of the Ovis of the Mazikin treated the same way as the Ovis themselves? Explains the Brisker Rav. The Gemara Masech de Shabbos says a pasuk to teach us that there are toldos. Our Gemara doesn't need a pasuk to teach us there are toldos, because he says it's obvious. The Rishonim say this already. He elaborates on that. It's obvious that there are toldos of Mazikin. If I or my property damage you, so it's certainly I'm obligated. The Gemara's question, he says, goes as follows. There is no question that any situation of mazik is included in the category of mazik, and is included in the general din of mazik that our Mishnah just taught us, the your moment v'shmer that shadakan lahezik v'shemerasan alecha, that you're obligated to make sure that they don't do hezik. But as we will learn in the Masechta, there are many dinim that apply to how after something did hezik, do we have to compensate? Very many dinim. The Gemara's question here is, do the toldos and avos have the same dinim regarding those details of payment? And the Gemara tries to follow precedent. Gabi Shabbos Tanan, by Shabbos we know, there are avos malachas abam chesa achas. The Mishnah says, Paraklal Gadol, there are 39 avos malachas. Avos, again, if the Mishnah says that there are avos, Mechlal de'ika toldos, they're obviously toldos also. The halacha by Shabbos is toldos saying kiyotz behem. The toldos are treated like the avos. Loishna av chatas. If somebody is over a av b'shoigig, he's chayv karm chatas. Loishna toldo chatas. If he's over a toldo, he's chayv karm chatas. Loishna av skila. Is he over an av b'mezid, he's chayv skila. Loishna toldo skila. And if he's over a told of a mezid, he's chayv skila. So my ikka ben avla tolda. If they're treated so much the same, what is the nafgamina? Says the nafgamina, deal of a shtey avos bahadi adodi. If somebody forgot on Shabbos and he did two different avos, inami. Or if somebody forgot on Shabbos, shtey toldos bahadi adodi, he did two different toldos, mechayv akol chada v'chada. He'll be mechuyv akol mechates for each av separately or each toldos separately. However, Elo Avad Av Tolda today, if somebody did an Av and also did its own Tolda, Mechayev El Chada, he'll only be Chayev. And the way most Rishonim explain, he'll only be Chayev for Av, and the Tolda is subsumed in the Av. However, the Mefarshim make a number of points here. One point is they're saying that even though if you do an Av and a Tolda, Behelem Echad, you're only Chayev for Av, you're not Chayev for the Tolda, say the Mefarshim, that, what would be the Halacha if you did the, you did an Av and a Tolda, you remembered you did a Tolda, and you bring a Kamechatis for the Tolda, and then you remember, oh, I also did the Av. There the Halacha of doing the Av, that the Oynish for the Av will be subsumed with the Oynish of the Tolda, will not work. Because when you brought the carbon for the Tolda, you forgot about the Av. Actually, Rav Nachum Zemba, in the Sefer Tetzos Chaim, goes even a step further. He says, let's say you did the Tolda before you did the Av, then the Halacha will be chayv two separate kabbalas. When do we say that the Tolda is subsumed with the Av? If you did the Av and then the Tolda, and then you remember and you bring one carbon. But if you did the Tolda and then the Av, you chayiv only, then you chayiv two. Tosfos asks, it's very important to know what's an Av and a Tolda. Because we know that before somebody gets, it's considered that he did a very b'mezid, he needs Asra. And the halacha is that when you give Asra for somebody being over a malacha on Shabbos, the halacha is that you have to tell the person that you're being over an Av. So we have to mention, we have to know what's an Av and a Tolda. What's the Gemara's question? So some Rishonim suggest that you don't have to mention the Av. That means like this. If I see you doing something in Shabbos that's also, that's prohibited, and I warn you and I say, you know, if you're doing this, you're going to be mechuyev for being mechal Shabbos, and I don't mention an Av, or I don't mention a Tolda, it's fine. The halach is, if I'm going to mention an Av or a Tolda, I have to mention the right one. So according to those Rishonim, obviously that can't be the Teretz. Then Taisa says, there are cases where everybody will agree that you have to mention the Tolda. Taisa says, two examples. The halacha is by two cases, noiteya and mevashel, that there you have to mention the Tolda. So this rule is not a hard and fast rule. But other Rishonim suggest that that's actually included in the Gemara's Teretz, which we're about to learn. That when the Mishnah says that the Teretz that we just said, that a Tolda is included in the Av, means to say that since the Tolda is included in the Av, so the Asra has to be for the Av. In fact, the Rishonim say that included in this Teretz is another point. Avos, as the Gemara told us explicitly, have Toldos. But Toldos don't have Toldos. So why did the Gemara say that Teretz? An Av has a Tolda doesn't have a Tolda. The answer is that's included in the Gemara's Teretz, that Avos subsume all Toldos, but Toldos don't subsume Toldos. Ask the Gemara, this Teretz works according to the Tanakama, according to the Chachamim, however, Rebbe Lezer, according to the opinion of Rebbe Lezer, the Mechayiv, I told him a Mokam Av, so then we don't have this Teretz. So we're back to where we started, a Mai Karolei Av, from my Karolei Tolda, what's called an Av and what's called a Tolda. There is no practical Nafka Mina, answers the Gemara. Hach to have a Mishka Cheshivi Karolei Av, hach to lay have a Mishkan Cheshivi Karolei Tolda. So Taisus gives two explanations in this Teretz. One explanation Taisus says is like this. Anything that's Choshev, that's a significant Malacha, is an Av. It's not that significant, it's a Tolda. But we have a difficulty. How do we define what's significant? Well, maybe significant today, tomorrow may not be significant, or vice versa. So according to this version, the Mishkan, the time of the Mishkan, is the time that we use to identify if something is considered significant or not. That's one way of learning. Another way of learning is as follows. You need to have two conditions to be an Av. It has to be Choshev, it has to be significant, and it has to be a Malacha that was done in the Mishkan. If a Malacha fulfills both of those conditions, it's an Av. If it doesn't fulfill both conditions, it's only a Tolda. Here we see that Tolda same Kiyotz Ben. The Toldas of Malacha Shabbos are treated like the others. By Gaba Tumas Tanan. By Tuma also, we have a concept of Ovis of Tuma. Hasheretz, Vashich, Vazera, Vatomei Meis, All of them have toldus, because some they're oves atuma. If they touch something, what they touch becomes a rishul tuma. There, the halach is told the same lav kiyotzbem. The toldus are not treated like the oves. Why? Dil av metama odem v'kelim. An av atuma is metama people and utensils. Vilu toldos oichlim umashk metame. They have the ability to metama oichlim and mashkin. However, odem v'kelim, people and vessels loy metame. So there we see told the same lav kiyotzbem. As Tosfos, there's a halach by tuma of cherev harei kucholol, that if a utensil touches, if a knife touches a dead avatoma, touches an avatoma, it becomes an avatoma. So we see that told the same kiyotz ben. So what is our Mishnah saying? Told the same lav kiyotz ben. Tosfos just gave us an example. We'll tell the same kiyotz ben. So according to the Rambam, it's not a question. Because even if we say cherev karei kucholol, it's not metama like b'masa, by carrying. An avatoma, that means something that touched the mace, that touched avia avos atoma, is metama b'masa. So it's not told the same kiyotz behem. But even according to the other Rishonim, yes, cherev harei kucholol, and if a knife touched avatoma, it becomes an avatoma. But it doesn't have the ability to give off toma, like an avatoma does. And therefore, it's not a perfect example of the same kiyotz ben. So now the Gemara, till this point, has identified two precedents in halacha where we have oves and toldos. And the Gemara said, by Shabbos, the toldos are treated like the oves. By tumas, the toldos are not treated like the oves. Ask the Gemara, hochamai, what is the halacha by Nezikin? Amar Rapapa. Rapapa gives a very diplomatic answer. Yesh bem kiyotz behen, yesh bem lav kiyotz behen. There are situations where the toldos are treated like the oves, and there are situations where they're not. So in order to understand Rapapa's teretz, the Gemara first has to identify what are the oves. And then we'll see where we'll apply Rapapa's rules. So Gemara begins with a braisa. Tana Abonin, gimel oves nemer b'shar. The mazik, called shar, has three situations. Hakeren, if it does damage with its horn, hashen, if it eats, varega, and if it tramples. Keren minolon, from where do we know that keren is considered a mazik? The Tana Rabbanan. The pasuk says kiyigach, ein negicha el bekeren. When the pasuk speaks about kiyigach sharis shreyu, it's referring to keren, that it did damage with its keren. How do we know that that's the way to understand the pasuk of kiyigach? Shenema, because the pasuk says, Pasuk says, "V'yaslo tzitkiyah ben Kanana karni bazel v'yom koy om Hashem be'elat nagach saram." This is a parsha Melachim Aleph. Achav, who was a rosha, was the Melech Yisrael, joined together with Yehoshaphat, who was the Melech Yehuda, and Achav said, "Let's go hold battle with Aram." Yehoshaphat was a tzaddik, and he was concerned that they won't be successful. He says, and not prepared to go to battle until we consult with Nevi'im. Achav went and brought 400 Nevi'i Shekel, 400 false prophets, and one of them was Sitkiyahu, and he says, I saw a vision how you'll have these metal horns, and with them you'll be able to destroy Aram, which is a false message. Vaimer, and there's a pasuk. The pasuk says, B'chor shah hodoloi, v'kanei re'em kanov. Here the pasuk is speaking about Yosef, Boham Amim Yinagech. Ask the Mamai V'Omer. We already had the first pasuk that told us the parish, that Negicha means with a Karen. Why does the Gemara have to quote a second pasuk? V'chitem, because you'll say, the first pasuk, as we said, is a pasuk in Melachim. Divrei Torah, Divrei Kabbalah, Lo Yalpinen. We can't learn Kiyigach, a pasuk in Chumash, from a pasuk in Navi. Why is Navi called Divrei Kabbalah? A number of pshatim. One pshat is because Nevi'im were Kaibel. Kaibel is a way of shouting. The Nevi'im would shout and give Musar to Klal Yisrael. Another pshat is Nevi'im, who's a Navi? It's a line of succession from Moshe Rabbeinu, part of the Messiah. So it's called Kabbalah. They're members of the Messiah. And another pshat that I saw is as follows. There's a fundamental difference, the Medrash says, between the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu and the nevuah of all other nevi'im. The pasuk says, Moshe Benu was misnabe b'zeh hadover, and all other nevi'im were misnabe koi. What's the difference? By Moshe Benu, it was shechina medaberes b'toich groinoi. Moshe Benu didn't even know what he was saying. The shechina kaviyachal was speaking from his mouth. All the other nevi'im saw a vision, saw a message, and then presented the message. So it was Kabbalah. They got a message and then presented it. So that's why it's called Nevi'im. So that's why you'll say that the first Pasuk that is a Pasuk in Navi cannot serve as a source how to understand the Pasuk in Chumash. That's why the Braisa quoted a second Pasuk, Toshma B'chor Shor Hadolai. Ask the Gemara, when is there a rule? Divrei Torah, Divrei Kabbalah, Lo Yalpinan. If I want to learn a halacha, if I want to learn a new din, so I can't learn it from Divrei Kabbalah. Hi, Melefu, are we learning halachas? Gilim Nosa Balmahu. We're just trying to understand that the Torah uses the word ki'igach. I don't know how to define the word ki'igach, so I use the pasuk in Malachim to help us learn the taich. Is that considered a halacha? Answers the Gemara. Gilim Nosa Balmahu, the negicha bekarenhu. Says the Gemara, Amad Taima, if we only had the Pasuk in Malachim, Kipalag Rachmana Bein Tam Lamud, we know by Karen, there's a very big halacha, that if an animal did damage, the first two or three times, we'll discuss this at length later in the Masechta, it's only Chayiv Chatzi Nezek by Karen. Once it becomes a Mu'ud, it's Chayiv Karen Nezek Shalom, the full damages. So if we would only have this Pasuk, I would say, Hanimili Betlusha. There it's talking about the horn wasn't on the animal's head. It was in its mouth. So there we distinguish between a tam only paying chatzi nezek and a mu'ud paying nezek shalom. Ava muchuberis. But when the horn is on the animal's head, a makulama edesi, that you always pay nezek shalom. And we don't differentiate between a tam and a mu'ud, tashma, b'char shahadala. So not a question asked the Shita Mekubetzis. So we should only have the Pasuk B'char Shor. That should teach us that that's considered Negicha. Especially it's a Pasuk in the Torah. Why do I need the Pasuk in Malachim? Why does the Brice have to quote that Pasuk? Answers the Shita. Because if I only had the Pasuk in the Torah, I would say that by Mechuberes, when that Karen is only by a horn that's attached to the head. But if the Karen is not attached to the head, maybe it's not considered a mazik. Maybe it's considered a different type of mazik. Maybe there are very different rules. That's what a Braisa has to quote that pasuk also to teach us that mazik is not only when the keren is attached to the head, but it's even when it's detached. Ask the Gemara. That's the av of keren. Told of the keren mahi. What are the toldos of keren? Says the Gemara. Negifa. Negifa means that it gave a shtup with the body. Revitza, it saw vessels, and Neshicha means that it bit intentionally. Revitza means it trampled. Ubi'ita, it means that it kicked with its feet, and it broke Kalim that way. And those are all the tolls. Interesting to note that the Mechas Chinuch points out, we just spoke about the difference between a tam and a mu'ud regarding keren. Says the Mechas Chinuch, what would be the halacha if an animal did negifa, neshicha, and revitza? One time negifa, one time neshicha, one time revitza. Will it be a tam or a mu'ud? Says the animal still a tam. You have to have that it did negifa three times, or neshicha three times, or revitza three times. It had to do the same act of hezek for it to become a mu'ud. Says the Gemara, Maishna Negicha the Karlei Av. So we just said that Negicha is called the Av, and Negifa is considered the Toldo. Ask the Gemara, Negifa Naimiksev. The Torah speaks about Negifa also. So if we're saying that anything that the Torah uses, that the words that the Torah use, is what is considered the Av, so if the Torah speaks about Negifa, Negifa ought to be an Av also. Where does the Torah say Negifa? Because the Torah says Kiyigas. So why are we only calling the Gicha an Av and the Gifa Toldo? The Gifa ought to be Av also. answers the Gemara, Hai negifa negichihi. When the Torah used there the word negifa, it means negifa. The Tanya, as the Brisa says, the Pasuk begins with the word negicha, negifa, the Sayim, and it ends with the word negicha, Laimelach to teach us, zui negicha. The negifa and negicha are the same. So when the Torah speaks about negifa, it means negicha, and that's the Av, all the other acts are told us. Ask the Gemara, Maishno gabe Odom, that what is the difference? By Odom, the Pasuk uses the word kiigach, or Maishno gabe behema, the ksif kiigoif. Why doesn't the Torah use the same word when an animal damaged another animal versus an animal damaging a person? That when an animal damages a behema, the word is negifa. And when it damages a person, it says negicha. Why does the Torah use different words? Answers the Gemara. Odom, Dislay Mazla, Ksiv, Kiigach, Behema, the Eslay Mazla, Ksiv, Kiigach. So as Rashi gives two explanations. One explanation is, a person has the intelligence to watch himself. That's Pshat Islay Mazla. That since a person has the intelligence to watch himself, so for an animal to do damage to a person, it needs a lot more intent. Because otherwise the person will get out of the way. Another animal doesn't have intelligence. So it's easier for an animal to do damage to an animal versus doing damage to a person. Yigoif represents a lesser amount of intent than the Gicha. That's one pshat. Another pshat that the Rashi says, Adam Islay Mazla, every person has a mazl, has a malach that watches him. But the person's mazl has a malach watching him is greater than an animal's mazl watching him. And therefore, to damage a person is more complicated. The animal needs more intent. Negicha versus damaging an animal. So Mefarshim explain, Rav Tzadok says this, it's not to say that animals don't have mazl. Because the truth is, everything has mazl. The Medrash says that every blade of grass has mazl. Just the level of mazl that a person has is a much higher level of mazl than an animal or a piece of grass. Rav Eliyahu Dessler in the Michtav Eliyahu says a beautiful explanation, what pshat Adam Islay Mazl. He says, we see people who it looks like have it always going well for them. And then we see people who it seems have a tough life. It's all based, discusses the end of Masechta Gedushin, on their mazel. What does that mean? Every person that was brought down to this world, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu sends down to this world, is for a purpose. Kadosh Baruch Hu all sends us down for a purpose. Some people accomplish their purpose by having it well off. And some people accomplish their purpose by having it not well off. Yet, that's Pshat Adam Islay Mazel. How the mazel we have is based on what our purpose of being in the world is. Says the Gemara, now that we explained that it takes a lot more to do damage to a person for whatever pshat that we said than to do damage to an animal. So we're going to learn a halacha. Milsa agav urcha kamashman. Muad l'adam have muad l'behema. If an animal damaged three people, it's certainly a mood for behema. Because as we just explained, it's much easier to do damage to behema than to do damage to a person. However, mood la behema, la have a mood laudam. So, it just because it did damage to an animal, doesn't mean it's considered a mood laudam. Ask the Gemara, we said neshicha, biting, is a talad de karen. Ask the Gemara, neshicha, talad de sheni. Neshicha ought to be a talad of shame. Why is it considered a told of Karen? Loi, says the Gemara, no. Shen, what does shame mean? Yesh hanol zeka. The animal's eating. It's enjoying what it's doing. Ha, but when an animal just bites another animal, or bites a human, it doesn't have any pleasure in it. Ha, ein hanol zeka, and therefore it fits more under the category of Karen than under the category of shame. Ask the Gemara, Revi'itzu be'ita, which means trampling or walking, ought to be told of the regal. They ought to be a told of the regal. Why is it considered a told of Karen? Says Mar again, loy. Regal hazeka motzi. That an animal walks And when it walks, it doesn't have the intelligence to watch where it's walking. That is considered regal. Hani, but that an animal should purposely trample something to cause damage, ein hazek motzi, is not considered the normal way an animal behaves, and therefore it's considered under the category of keren, not under the category of regal. Ella, so now we have successfully identified keren. We've identified what is the av of keren, negicha. We have identified what is the told of keren, revitza, beita, neshicha. There's all the keren. Now we go back to Rapapa's statement. Rapapa made a statement on top of an omid that in certain situation the toldos of an av of a mazik have the same din as the mazik, and certain times they do, they don't. Now that we identify what the of and toldos of keren are, now we have to know what will be the din by this av and toldo. Do the toldo of keren have the same din as the av, or don't they? Ella told the same. Lav ki yotz ben dom rapapa. The rapapa said in certain situation by mazikin, toldos don't have the same din as the others. Ahai. Regarding which mazik did he mean? Ilay mahani, if you say that he's referring to a mazik called keren, the question comes up. Maishno keren, what is the identifying feature of keren? Kavanosu lahazik. As we said, by keren, it intend to do damage. It's something that you're responsible for. So says the Gemara, the of has these characteristics, and it told us, hani nami kavanosu lahazik, umemanacha v'shmarasan alecha. So why would I say that the told of keren should be different than the av of keren? It must be, since they have the exact same defining characteristics, it must be that the told of keren is identical to the av of keren. So we're back to where we started. Rapapa said that in certain situations, by mazikim, the others and the toldos are not treated the same. After explaining what the av and toldos of keren are, we've not been able to see any reason why the toldos should not be treated like the others. And now we need to find where by mazikim do we have a case that the others and toldos should not be treated the same.